go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan, and along with my wife Leslie Doan, who is not with us this week and will be out for one or two more weeks as a result of getting healed from an injury, and more about that when she returns, we'll give our testimony. But you're listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. Each week in this broadcast, we will explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today. Our passion for renewal was ignited when Leslie and I came home to the Catholic Church 13 years ago. And that is when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church. Now you can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to the renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org. And our prayer today is that through this ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you as individuals, families, as well as parishes to join the rebuilding process and yourself experience renewal. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, we're doing a series of broadcasts that call forth the process of spiritual rebuilding and renewal in local parishes that we find in the book of Revelation. These sacred scriptures are so enlightening and encouraging, especially in these days in which we now find ourselves, right? With so much being shaken, both in the church and in the world, the apocalypse brings the message of Jesus Christ as Victor King. Through these broadcasts, we hope to show how Jesus has been calling parishes to rebuild and renewal throughout all of history, even dating back to this first century churches and parishes that we see in Revelation. And in these broadcasts, we want to bring together and pull together the sacred scripture, excerpts from our catechism, the lives of the saints, and the teaching of the church as we seek to challenge all of us to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America. Now, last week, we discussed the church at Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2, and this church was marked by enduring severe persecution based on residing in an area where emperor worship was predominant among the Christians. And the Christians, unlike the Jews, were not recognized as an official religion, and therefore they weren't exempt from being required to give worship to Caesar. It's interesting that after this talk last week, I went to Mass on Sunday at OLMC in Carmel, Indiana, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and the pastor, Father Richard, gave his homily on persecution and being aware of the persecution that goes on in the world. So I really appreciated the Holy Spirit's connection there. He was speaking out of scriptures in 2 Maccabees, where seven brothers were martyred one by one in the sight of their mother. And he talked about just some of the persecution that is now going on throughout the world. We mentioned last week that in 2021, over 360 million Christians live in places where they experience high levels of persecution and discrimination. We mentioned that 5,900 Christians were killed for their faith in that year, 2021, that over 5,100 churches and other Christian buildings were attacked, and that 4,700 plus believers were detained without trial. They were arrested, sentenced, or imprisoned. We also mentioned, just as an aside, for our listeners to remember to pray for the Chinese Cardinal Zen, who presently is on trial in Hong Kong with the Chinese officials. When we read these headlines about people groups being persecuted for their faith, it may seem at first glance that there's nothing we can do about it. After all, many cases, we live thousands of miles away from these people, and we feel so overextended at times just managing our own families and responsibilities. But we mentioned last week, just in summary, that there is an important piece that we can do for our Christian brothers and sisters, and that is to pray for them. And we discussed five ways on how to pray for persecuted Christians. And I just want to reiterate those as we do this first segment today. Number one, we can pray that whatever their circumstances are, God will give persecuted Christians the right words. Now, where do we come up with that? St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 6, and at that point, interestingly enough, Paul was in prison when he wrote this to his fellow believers. But he said, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Then he says, pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So that's when Paul was in prison. So that's a good way to pray for our brothers and sisters being persecuted. Secondly, we mentioned last week, pray that persecuted Christians will understand and find peace in the sufficiency of God's grace, even in their weaknesses. Again, going back to St. Paul, that is so prototypical of one being persecuted, yet bearing it as Christ would have him bear it. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, the Lord spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So that's the second way that we pray that God, these persecuted Christians will have the sufficiency of grace to bear under the heavy load that they carry. Thirdly, we pray that Christians facing hardship will draw from a source of power larger than themselves. St. Paul said, for we are utterly, when he was being persecuted, burdened beyond out of our strength, that we despaired of life itself. Think about that. St. Paul and his team were so under pressure and burdened that they were despairing of life. They needed prayer, right? He said, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But he went on to say, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but God who raises from the dead. And again, as a reminder, Hebrews chapter 13 reminds us not to forget our brothers and sisters in prison, which implicitly is saying, do not forget those that are being persecuted for the faith. Fourthly, we can pray that God would present with persecuted Christians, be present in their hardship, and protect them according to his will. The scripture reminds us that part of our prayer can be that God will deliver Christians from chains, just as he did with Peter in Acts chapter 12. Remember, an angel came by and kicked him in the side and said, Peter, get up. But also we should pray that if God does not see fit to intervene in such a way, that we will intervene to strengthen them through our prayers, no matter what the outcome. And then finally, pray their witness would inspire those who would seek to harm them. Again, we're reminded in the Acts of the Apostles, Paul and Silas were arrested in Philippi. God sent that powerful earthquake, and as a result of that, the guard and all his family were miraculously saved. So we're praying that God would use them to give a witness in the midst of the persecution. We want to remind you as we end this first segment that historians and biblical scholars tell us that these seven churches that we're talking about are not only studied for what they teach us in their own ancient setting, but also that these are representative of the church of every age, and we too can learn and experience from their experience as well. We're going to take a short break now, and when we return, we'll discuss the third church in Asia Minor, the church at Pergamum.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today we're focusing on the third of seven local parishes in chapters 2 and 3, the Church of Pergamum in the Book of Revelation. Remember last week, the Church of Smyrna was only one of two churches that were not called to repent for misdeeds. They were commended for their stance during persecution. Not so today, though. The church at Pergamum was doing some things right, but also their wrongs far outweighed it. I think it'd be good to read the scriptures and just to think about what Jesus is saying to this church. The scripture says, "And to the angel of the church at Pergamum write, these are the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know where you're living, where Satan's throne is, yet you're holding fast to my name, and you did not deny your faith in me. Even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you, where Satan lives. But I have a few things against you. You have some who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, so that they would eat food sacrificed to idols and practice fornication. So you also have some that hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent then. If not, I will come to you soon and make war against them with the sword of my mouth. Let anyone who has an ear to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To everyone who conquers, I will give him some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. And on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it." Well, there's a lot in that passage, and we're going to take this week and next time together to break down so that this can be helpful in your own understanding of what Jesus is saying to the churches, both back then and also today. There's several, again, places to unpack, but let's start with this: let everyone who has a ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We want to point out to our listeners some facts that surrounded this church and then look at the particulars of the church itself. Pergamum was a city that lies 50 miles north of Smyrna, the last church that we studied. In Roman times, this is interesting, Pergamum boasted the second largest library in the world of 200,000, that is, volumes, second only to that of Alexandria. The geographical setting here was absolutely spectacular. There was a walled Acropolis. The location of many temples and civic buildings stood up on a steep hill 1,300 feet above the rest of the city. So in the city, you would look up and you'd see this huge Acropolis. And from there, an immense altar of Zeus, the Savior, looked down on the city. So Pergamum was the center of pagan religion in Asia. Athena, the goddess of wisdom and victory, and also Dionysus, the god of wine and merrymaking, were the patron saints of this city. Interestingly enough also, three times the Roman Empire itself bestowed on Pergamum the honorary title of temple warden of the imperial cult. So all that's going on as a background for the church in this setting. In the middle of all this, Jesus comes to his people with a word, doesn't he? So the Lord has some things to say to this church, and let's look at the words here that I've already read, but point out a few things. First of all, Jesus presents himself as he does to all the churches. He gives himself a part of himself and a part of who he is for the church to reflect on and to identify with. Here he speaks of himself as the one who has a sharp, two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. Why is this picture of himself to those in Pergamum so interesting? Well, because of this, I think. The two-edged sword that he's relating to, used in battle, would always cut both ways, right? So I think Jesus chose this picture of himself because there's two things going on in Pergamum. There is the power of the Roman Empire that is pressuring upon the saints. And then in the spiritual realm, we have what's called the throne of Satan. This is a key location for satanic activity and even Satan himself. So there's worldly evil and spiritual evil going on in Pergamum. And also, not only the two-edged sword, but the two-edged sword reminds us of the word of God that is spoken of in Hebrews, that the word is like a two-edged sword. And why is this good for us to be reminded about the power of God's word as we look at this church? Remember when Jesus confronted the devil in the wilderness, he said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." What is this about the word of God that's so important for us, right? The word of God, first of all, cuts through all the false teaching and worldly lies that surrounds us all, surrounds the church for 2,000 years. There's always false teaching and worldly lies that needs to be cut through. Well, the word of God helps us do that. Secondly, the word separates truth from error. It really clarifies for us, again, what is to be believed and what is to be shunned. Thirdly, the word reveals sin so as to bring repentance and healing to those who are willing to hear. So we see in all these churches, five of them had sin revealed to them through the word of Jesus Christ, not to condemn them, but to always call them back to the Lord and to the true teaching of the church itself. And by God's grace, we all need that, right? It's not something to fear, but it's one of God's gifts to us. Next, the word of God is all-powerful and can cut through a heart of stone. You know, sometimes when we get involved in bad habits like some of these believers that we're going to see in Pergamum, sin turns our hearts hard. It becomes like stone, but God's word is able to break through and deal with that hardened heart. And finally, the word of God will always accomplish the purpose for which it's sent. We're reminded that in Isaiah, that when God sends his word out, it accomplishes the purpose for which it is sent. So it's within this context of the word of the Lord, Jesus comes to his people at Pergamum and evaluates where they're at and how they're doing. This amazing picture certainly shows us the Lord is very interested in his local churches, and he wishes to speak to them personally and show them the way to spiritual health and how to rebuild. We're going to take another short break now, and when we return, we will look into the Lord's specific words to the church at Pergamum and begin to make some applications that apply to us today. We will see that he first commanded them, but then he commended them and commanded them, but then pointed things out that need to be repented of. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
You are listening to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today, we're moving on with our new series, The Seven Churches in the Book of Revelation. And we're discussing the rebuilding and renewal Jesus was charging the church at Pergamum to take up. He begins by commending the church in some areas, but we do see Jesus saying the church was doing well in some areas, but not others. This is an interesting congregation because it seems like, think about this, that there's two different groups in this church. We're going to speak to the first group about the first group as we finish our program today. And then next week, we'll speak about the other group that was within this community and also what Jesus would do if the second group would repent. Jesus had commendations for the first group at Pergamum. He addresses them by saying, "Remain faithful in spite of your circumstances." Now think about what was going on in Pergamum, right? In the midst of immorality, false beliefs, we've talked about what the city was like. Jesus said Satan's headquarters were there, and there was emperor worship going on. There were those who stay faithful and remain faithful to Jesus Christ. They remained faithful. They did not recant on their faith. We mentioned earlier that this whole city was just absolutely full of idols, yet they did not abandon their faith in Jesus Christ. And when we think about idols, I think it's important to stop and think that we too can face idols in our life in 21st century Western culture, right? In 1 John 5:21, the apostle St. John ended his whole epistle by saying, "Little children, keep yourself from idols." What does that mean to us in the 21st century as Catholic Christians here in America? I've thought about idolatry and how that fits in our lives today over several years, and I've heard many Christian thinkers describe and sum up what idolatry might look like as we face as American Christians. And I've summed that up by giving idolatry four titles that I think that we face in our culture. And I name them like this. Number one, convenience. Number two, comfort. Number three, personal peace. And number four, affluence. Now, what do we mean by this? That there's a mentality that we really need to guard ourselves against as Catholic disciples. I think a lot of times we battle that we need to choose the most convenient thing, or we need to seek out comfort rather than doing the right thing sometimes, or where can I find personal peace, or where can I have affluence to surround my life and protect myself from the pressures around me. I heard a great definition of an idol, and this helps us bring this to the fact that it's just not a golden calf that represents an idolatry, but rather it is a thing that's loved or a person loved more than God, something wanted more than God or desired more than God, treasured more than God, or even enjoyed more than God. As I self-reflect in my own life, it could be an academic degree. It could be the approval of other people, success in business, sexual pleasure, a hobby, a music group, even a sports team, my 401k. So the point that I'm trying to make is a little bit of an aside here as we look at Christians in Pergamum that did not give in to the idolatry that surrounded them. The point is this: something or someone who replaces the Lord as the center of my life, thinking, hopes, and future. That's what idolatry is. But there's a group in this parish in Pergamum that gets it right in terms of no idolatry. And Jesus commends a group that does not leave the city or abandon their faith in the midst of the tremendous pressures. Tradition has it, and we mentioned Antipas was killed, and Jesus commended Antipas and his witness. Tradition has it that the person Antipas that Jesus names was a disciple of St. John. Also, history believes that he was a bishop of the Pergamum church, and it's believed that he was roasted alive inside a bronze bull-like altar at the Temple of Diana. The believers in the parish would have known about that terrible deed, right? But the evilness of this did not cause this first group that Jesus is commending to recant or turn from their faith. So in conclusion today, there's some takeaways from what this community in this first group was commended in. Just as there was a mixed multitude that followed Moses out of Egypt, so too there were groups in Pergamum, some faithful to Jesus and some who needed to repent for not being faithful. Also, this courageous bishop, Antipas, He led the church by his example as a bishop of orthodoxy, courage, and care for the flock. And this is a great reminder for us, for all of us, to pray for our bishops that they can follow the example of Antipas. Thirdly, as Jesus commended them, we need to hold fast the name of Jesus in the midst of Satan's throne, so close to us all. In the Acts of the Apostles, it was the name of Jesus that really the apostles were persecuted for, and also they said they could not stop speaking about the name. It reminds me about so important about carrying the name. When I was a little boy in grade school, the nuns would always teach us that when you heard the name of Jesus, to bow your head. Even as a little boy, I was being taught that to hold fast the name and respect it was real important for us as Catholic Christians. And finally, the Lord began to address this church in Pergamum by saying, I know where you dwell. And that tells me that the Lord is close to us, right? He knows the pressures that we face, the growing pressures, just like Pergamum, both in and outside of the church. And just like the church, the Lord is watching us, ready to commend us also as we remain faithful and proclaim his word. At this point, I'd like to pray for us that we could be like this first group in Pergamum, to remain faithful, to honor his name, even in the midst of these pressures that surround us. Lord Jesus Christ, we invite you into our life today to fill us with your Spirit. Give us the grace, Lord, to remain faithful like those believers in Pergamum that were surrounded by idols but did not give in to them, that had a great witness in their bishop Antipas. We pray for our bishops today that they too would have courage and strength. Lord, we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, listeners, we want to thank you today for joining us as we seek to connect individuals, families, and parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. To hear our past programs, go to CatholicRadioIndy.org, and you can access all previous broadcasts through the podcast tab on the webpage. You can download the Catholic Radio Indy app from your app store and listen 24/7. And you can also say, Alexa, enable Catholic Radio Indy. And make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.